Now we're going to read together Psalm 46, this lovely psalm. Psalm 46, and we're reading at verse 1. Mr. Baker was in touch this morning, indicating that he hasn't been feeling so well, and he thought maybe he would be feeling better by the time this morning came, but that was not the case. And so it has fallen my lot to step in this situation. So we're going to read Psalm 46 and the verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our hearts this reading of his precious word. In verse 10, we have this word, be still and know that I am God. This psalm is the triumphant song of the people of God in the midst of enemies, perils, and upheavals. The language is striking. The picture it paints, those pictures are bold and gripping. We are told that this was one of Martin Luther's favorite psalms. Amid the challenges and the commotions of the Reformation period, Luther, he would say, let us sing the 46th Psalm. In our text, the Lord stands forth in all his majesty. He speaks with authority. He commands silence, stillness. Be still and know that I am God. You and I live in a day of commotion, of much rushing hither and thither, of hustle and bustle and noise. Some are even afraid of stillness. I remember being in a home one day, and the radio was blaring. And the lady of the home said, the radio's on, but I'm not listening to it. But it breaks the silence. Oh, there is a sense in which we are to be still. What the Lord has in mind for us is not indifference, slothfulness, inactivity, waiting around with folded arms. That's not what the text is. It's conveying to us the thought of confidently looking to him. resting on Him, depending, counting on Him, undertaking for us in every situation. Now, first of all, in this text, we will consider the command, be still. When the Lord commands us to be still, He is saying, be calm. There are many situations that we all face, and they tend to stir up the sea of our lives. They break the calm, the stillness. They throw us, our hearts, into turmoil and commotion. And this psalmist was very clearly in such a trying time. You will have noted the words at the opening section of the psalm, verse 2. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, the waters thereof roaring and being troubled, the mountains shaking with the swelling thereof. What a scene of upheaval. Even the mountains, normally stable, solid, firm, they are shaking. They are in motion. It is such a turbulent time, but the Lord gives this command, be still. Do the wicked prosper in our day? Are our enemies spreading themselves like a Green Bay tree? Are our circumstances trying, perplexing? The Lord says to our hearts this evening, be still, be calm. In Psalm 39, in verse 9, David says, I was dumb and opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. We see David here in submission, in a cheerful, confident acquiescence with God's holy will. He has nothing to say by way of rebellion, complaint, or murmuring. Whatever comforts David is deprived of, whatever crosses he is burdened with, his heart is at ease. There's a calmness within. He is saying, Lord, thou didst it. And all that God does is well done. And David is at ease with it. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, they offered strange fire before the Lord, with the result that they were cut off. The judgment of God fell upon their heads. They died before the Lord. What a trial for Aaron, Israel's priest, to bear. Aaron had emotions, he had feelings, he had the same human nature as you and I. And in this most distressing, perplexing situation, there was a calmness about him. For in Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 3, we discover that Aaron held his peace. In conversation with Moses about what had just happened, what had just taken place, Aaron merely said in Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 19, he said, such things have befallen me. It was an uncommon thing that happened in his family. It was so distressing and painful. But from Aaron's lips came no word of complaint, of rebellion, or murmuring. He held his peace. He was silent before the Lord. He left it all with the Lord. He was in fact being still in the Lord's presence in the circumstances that had overtaken him. The Lord in this command is saying, be still, be calm. He is also saying, be confident, be still, wait on me. These words are found in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 17, where Isaiah says, I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Isaiah is determined not to cast. Oh, it is clear from this verse that the nation is under reproach. There has been a forsaking of the Lord by the people. And that forsaking in the land has caused the hiding of the Lord's face. And Isaiah still says, I will wait upon the Lord. For him, see the confidence that is in his heart. He's being still. He's waiting on the Lord with all confidence. The Bible says, though it tarry, wait for it. It will not tarry. It will surely come. We long for better days in the Lord's work. How will we see the Lord lifting up the light of his countenance again? By looking to him, by waiting on him, entreating his mercy. Oh, let us continually look to the Lord. It has been wisely said that waiting time is not wasted time. Here in Isaiah chapter 25 and the verse 9, Isaiah 25 and verse 9, the prophet says, this is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Oh, how profitable it was for the prophet to wait on the Lord, to look to him. Oh, may you and I see days marked by the Lord's presence and by the visitation of his power. The command, be still. But think not only of the command in these words, but the comfort that must flow from them. Think of the things that operate in this world without commotion. Silently, the moon appears in the sky and lights up the darkness of the night. Silently, the frost, it bites and binds the water of the lake in its icy grip. Silently, the sun reappears and revives all of nature after its sleep of winter. Silently, the trees come alive. They clothe themselves with leaves and with their fruit. As in nature, so in the spiritual realm, God is working in the stillness. He is working and who shall hinder him? Oh, we ought never to fear for the ark of God. The work of God needs no human hand to steady it. The Lord declares, all souls are mine. He says, other sheep I have. The Lord has said that he will see the travail of his soul. The Lord prayed in John chapter 12 and verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. And in response, the Father said, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Here is a promise that we should bring with us when we pray this evening. The Father has glorified his name and will glorify it again. Father, glorify thy name in Newton Arts. Glorify thy name in this province of ours, in our nation. Oh, the Lord works in that stillness, in the quietness, the comfort that flows from that. But think also of the contemplation that we see in this text. Be still and know that I am God. Know that I am God. Contemplate the Lord your God. Consider him who is the Lord God omnipotent. The people in the cities of Judah were encouraged to do this very thing. In that wonderful 40th chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40 and the verse 9, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. They were to contemplate their God. They were to behold him as the sovereign. Isaiah 40 and verse 10. Behold, the Lord your God will come with strong hand. He will come with strong hand. He's the one in whose hand is power and might. It will restrain and conquer all his enemies. The Lord is full of power. He is the mighty conqueror. He is not only the power of God, he is the God of power, the God that doeth wonders, great things past finding out. Look into verse 10 again. Behold, the Lord your God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. His arm will rule to the fulfilling of his will, to his own glory. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. His reward, the verse 10 says, is with him. Abraham was assured by the Lord, I am thy exceeding great reward. And being faithful in that which is little is well pleasing to the Lord. And the verse 10 also says, his work is before him. The Lord who knows the end from the beginning knows what he will do. None can say unto him, what doest thou? He will do all his pleasure, and his counsel shall stand. Behold your God. He is the sovereign. Not only the sovereign, he is also the shepherd. Verse 11 of Isaiah 40. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. Oh, how he cares for them, leads them along and feeds them in green pastures. He knows the sheep, knows their ailments, knows their burdens, all about them. In Capernaum, on the Sabbath, it had been a long Sabbath, and at night season, when the sun was setting, the sick were still being brought to the Lord. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 40, and the verse says, he laid his hands on every one of them. There was a great number, a multitude of sick ones. He laid his hands on every one of them. The Lord saw them as individuals, saw them distinctly, intimately, knew all about them. Oh, we can bring our burdens, our ailments, and our burdens and cast them upon him. He has a special regard for the lambs, for the weak. He carries them in his bosom. His gentleness is great. He is the one whose compassions fail not. And such a contemplation as this is commended to us in the words of Job 22 and verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. That word acquaint, it means to make profit. It's profitable. Oh, it's always to our profit to be acquainted, to behold, to know that the Lord is God. Acquainted intimately with him who is our rock, our fortress, our all in all. Such a knowledge will enable us in the challenges, the stress, the strains of this life to be still, to be at peace, though all be in commotion around us. And there is also in this text the thought, I believe, of the conquest. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. There is a wonderful conquest to be had in the Lord. There in Isaiah 30 and the verse 7, this word is given, for the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to sit still. What's the situation? They're facing Sennacherib's onslaught. And the people of Judah, they look to Egypt for support, for help, for deliverance. It was pointless. The Lord said, their strength, their conquest is to sit still, is to wait on me, is to look to me, humbly depending on the Lord, trusting in him to make a way for them. Oh, they ought to have hoped and quietly waited for the salvation of the Lord. The preacher went along to see his friend who had suffered a broken arm. Sympathetically, he asked, is it very painful? Not when I keep it still, was the reply. And this is the secret of our conquest. We conquer by keeping still. How did Jonah conquer all his fears, his trepidation, and apprehensions in the belly of the great fish? There in Jonah chapter 2, from his own lips, he can say, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple." In that awful circumstances, Jonah sat still. He remembered the Lord. He lifted his heart to him. Oh, cease your worrying, troubled Christian. What avails your anxious cares? God is ever thinking of you. The Lord every burden bears. Cast all your care on him. Sink into his blessed will while he folds you to his breast, sweetly whispering, "Peace, be still. Be still and know that I am God." We remember the lovely words in Isaiah chapter 26 and verses 3 and 4. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Peace, peace is the thought whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, are the rock of ages." The Lord our rock is still our strong tower. We can run into it and be safe when the tempest is high. Be still and know that I am God. May the Lord bless his word to each of our hearts tonight. We will further sing the hymn number 600.